We're so thrilled to be here. I just, I don't know. I could, if all I did was pray for the next few weeks, I think I'd be, you know, kid in a candy store. Just so many things stirring in my heart. And, you know, really, I don't know how to express it. I've said it, and you wonder how much people understand of what you're saying or how important what you're saying is. But really, Pastor Debbie and I and this church and ministry and so forth are in another place in life that it calls for an increased season of prayer, a season of increased prayer. And because there's some things that he wants to reveal concerning his plan. And I've been here before. I've been here like this is the third or fourth time in my life where I know, okay, there's some things he wants to reveal, some things he wants to say. And somebody said, what is it? And you go, I could speak in tongues and tell you, but my mind hasn't caught up with it yet. And thank God for the Holy Ghost, the helper, you know, that God's given us so that whenever we don't know what to pray, because in seasons like this, you're like, God, show me. And then your spirit's still not satisfied, you know. And we just, in seasons like this, it's important that we recognize these seasons, first of all. And second of all, it's important that we give ourselves to doing the right thing in these seasons. You know, there can be a lot of things that seem important. You know, a lot of business, a lot of duties, a lot of natural things and so forth and so on. And, you know, you could say just categorizing all those things, you could categorize them into all those things into one word, activity. Just busy, busy activity, just active, just going about busy doing this, busy doing that. And but the Bible didn't say, Jesus didn't say in John 15, what is that, verse 8 or something like that, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much activity. You can be busy, but busy doing the wrong thing. You can get a lot done, but not doing what God wants you to get done. And you can make progress in natural things, maybe education or investments or, you know, whatever other area, or you get a new home or something like that. And, you know, some of these things can be part of God's plan. I'm not trying to minimize those things, but you can just do all those things and seem to be active in all those things, but there's a part of your life that's not progressing. And that is the plan of God. And you can lay down at night and have a dissatisfaction about you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've been there. And I don't like it. You know, busy, 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 but just dissatisfied on the inside. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, then learn what I'm talking about. Learn to get quiet. Look in here, and, you know, when you get done, it's like, with your day. Is there a that just so thrills me on the inside? Or is it like something's missing on the inside? It's like going to minister this weekend. It's like, Yeah, praise the Lord. Because it's the plan. Yeah. And other things can keep your mind busy, but your spirits. Remember, Paul said there's things that you can. Remember, he talked about prayer there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. In fact, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll go to there and then Romans 8. But he mentioned prayer, and he mentioned two ways of praying. And one of them is, let's just look at verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 14. In our prayer times, we're going to be taking some time to teach, and then we're going to also take in times to pray. I mean, we're going to take time to do both of them in all these sessions. So come ready, not to just teach or hear the word, but to act on the word. Romans 14 and verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. So he mentions two ways of praying or worshiping. And I think you can see easily from 1 Corinthians 14:14 that praying with the Spirit is praying with tongues. In other words, verse 15 is defined with the Spirit. In verse 15 is defined, verse 14, in tongues. You understand, you can pray with the Spirit with your understanding by the spirit of prophecy, but that's not what he's talking about here, because he's contrasting praying, my spirit praying out of the help of the Holy Spirit within me in tongues versus praying out of my understanding, which is my mind. And so there's two ways of praying. And if you before you and I got baptized with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, there were seasons of our prayer time that we left that season or that time of prayer unsatisfied. Because this didn't get expression.
Amen.
What we understood got spoken. You know. But see, God's plan is not up here. God's plan is down here. The plan that God has for you and I to walk out is not first in our mind. It's first in our spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us that plan. And he communicates that not to our intellect first. He communicates it to our spirits. And as we draw it up in tongues, then our mind gets enlightened. You understand? So praying in tongues is accessing the plan of God. You're reaching down there deeper where there's things that your spirit needs expression in and longs to talk over with God, but your mind doesn't know how to do it. You understand that it leaves you dissatisfied whenever you don't draw up what's on the inside. It leaves me very dissatisfied. It's just like, that's not good enough. And what Pastor Debbie and I are calling for in prayer and from this congregation or others, I mean, you know, people that hook up with us. But what we're calling for is people who get beyond just God bless Pastor Jay and Debbie prayers. That doesn't do much but salve your conscience that you prayed. Somebody said, you praying? Oh, yeah, I prayed yesterday. Well, that's just praying out of your understanding. It didn't really get the job done compared to what's needed to be prayed out right now. There's things that are mysteries. Remember 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, when we pray in an unknown tongue, when we pray in an unknown tongue, we speak mysteries. We don't speak to God. We don't speak to man, but we speak to God. No man understands, and that's including you. That's why it's tongues is not something you understand. But no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He's speaking mysteries. You can put all those things together. He's speaking mysteries to God. He's talking secrets with God, one translation says. Secrets. Too deep for access with your understanding and with your known tongue. Romans 8:26 says that, 26 and 27 in the Amplified, and it says groanings which cannot be uttered. That Amplified says too deep for utterance. There's yearnings, longings, things that your spirit's hungry for, but you don't know how to hook up with it with your English or your known tongue, because you can't express it with your intellect. If your reasoning doesn't go deep enough, your intellect doesn't go deep enough, your understanding doesn't know how to express it to God. But thank God, God didn't leave us up a creek without a paddle. Unsatisfied, knowing that there's more, but don't know how to access it. There's ways to access it. One of the ways God gave us to access it is in tongues. Praying out the plan of God. Now, somebody said, what mysteries is he talking about? How many of you know the plan of God? I mean, specifics. Now, the general plan is in the Word of God.
Yes.
Although a lot of Christians don't even see that.
Yeah.
But the specifics of the plan of God are in your spirit by the Holy Spirit, revealing it to your spirit.
Yes.
Counsel, remember Proverbs 5:20, is it? Counsel's in the heart of man like deep, or 25, I guess. Counsel's in the heart of man like deep waters. Man of understanding will draw it out. There's things that are down deeper than your intellect. What do we mean deeper? Deeper than your mind. Where's deeper? Well, the deepest part of man's being is the spirit man. And that's deeper than your intellect. And remember, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And so the belly is the belly region is where the spirit man is. He's not up here. The human spirit where the Holy Spirit dwells is not up on your shoulders. He's down in your spirit. And to draw up the counsel of God, of God's plan, is in your spirit. And a wise man, he said, will draw that out. Draw that out. Any wise people in here? Don't raise your hand if you don't pray much in tongues. Praying in tongues is wisdom. It's drawing out the wisdom of God's plan. Remember Ephesians 5, don't be unwise. Don't be unwise. Don't be unwise. What's he talking about? You know, spending money wrong? Well, that's not wise. But listen, don't be unwise. But what? Understanding. What? What the will of the Lord is. It's foolishness to go through life and not access God's plan. Well, I know God's plan. Well, then, you don't know all of it. You might know some, but you don't know all of it. The plan of God is revealed progressively. And until we find a part of God's plan for us right now and then walk in that, we're not going to get the rest of it. So no, you don't know all God's plan because you haven't finished his plan. And so there's still more to be revealed because you're still walking parts of it out. God reveals his plan as we pray it out and as we walk out what we know. And Pastor Debbie and I have prayed out a lot of what we're already walking out. And we've walked a lot of things out. And the Lord's been telling me, you prayed out a lot of things before you came here to pastor, and you've walked out much of it, and now you've gotten to a place you've got to pray some more things out. Amen. Else, he said, you're stuck. Right. Let me tell you how to get unstuck. I grew up on the farm, and we drove trucks on roads and off roads. And off roads, you develop ruts in the dirt. That's all it was, dirt, just a lane down beside the field. And you get those ruts too deep, and you get back there with the truck if you get running through the mud whenever you're making a rut even deeper in the mud, and you'll get stuck high center. That center of that axle gets stuck on that dirt up there between the two ruts. And you can spin, and push the gas and do all you want to do, but you're not going anywhere. You understand? And you can get that way spiritually. You can get that way in the plan of God. See, the plan of God's supposed to be moving forward in our lives, but you can get high center and get stuck where you're just spinning your wheels, not progressing. Remember Jude 20 in the Amplified, just one chapter, Jude verse number 20. He said, remember King James says, building up yourselves in most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amplified says, make progress. Oh, glory. You know how to get unstuck from high center? How to make progress? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray out the plan. Because you need to know more in order to get traction. You can just speak, well, I'm doing what I know to do. Yeah, but there's more you need to know to do. And you find out that more, and all of a sudden, there you go. You start doing that, and things start progressing again. Hallelujah. So we want to learn what's important in these seasons. And, you know, Pastor Debbie and I, like I said, in this ministry, in the church, are at another place in life that calls for a season of increased prayer because God has something he wants to reveal concerning the next step of his plan. Amen. And I'm recruiting you to help us. Somebody said, well, it's not my life. Well, God connected you here, so it affects your life. It affects your life. Your life being stuck affects my life. So my life needs to stay unstuck so it doesn't affect your life. And I'm not saying we're completely stuck, but the point is, I just know there's more he wants to reveal here. The Lord said to me years ago, and by the way, you know, the Bible says that we war a good warfare with these prophecies that went before us. When he says things by the Spirit, these are specific things that generally, I mean, the Word's going to give us the general plan, but these specific things that he speaks by the Spirit, they are, we have to use those to war a good warfare just as much as we take the Word to war a good warfare. Remember 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 18 and 19, with the prophecies that went before on thee, talking about what the Spirit said.
Yes.
The Word says some things, but then the Spirit has some things to say.
Yes.
It's always in line with the Word.
Yes. Yeah.
But what the Spirit says, he said, is the prophecies that went before on thee, and he said, by them you wore a good warfare.
Yes.
So I'm mentioning something to you here that he said to me years ago. He said, when you hit your 50s, when you get to your 50s, you're just going to be up and running in the plan that I have for you.
Amen.
Now, let me say something about things the Spirit says. Nothing. Well, let me back up. The Spirit says things because they are his will. But all that the Spirit says is, all that the Spirit says does is inform you of his will. He doesn't guarantee it'll come to pass. It's just information. Why? So we can go around and say, oh, I know. You know what I know? Do you know what I know? Yeah, I bet you don't know what I know. I know, I know, I know. No, that's not what it's for, just so you know. It's to direct your faith and your prayer life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a target for your prayer life.
That's so good. That's so good.
That's good.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Nothing's automatic.
No, it's not.
That's real
good. You have to lay hold of it.
Amen.
When I was a teenager, I don't know if I'm going to get to my notes tonight. I was a teenager. I kind of got off, and I didn't want. God spoke to me as a young, I'm guessing 8 or something, like 8 years old. He spoke to me and said his plan. He called me to the ministry, spoke to me about his plan. I've shared that with you. But won't take the time to get into it tonight. But after I got saved at 10 years old, and then after a few years started falling away. I would say after 3 or 4 years started falling away. Just, you know, getting to the age where I had a plan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, nobody in here has ever done that. But. So I'm going my own direction, and it opened the door to mental torment and bondage and other things. And, you know, when you're out of God's plan for your life, it opens the door for a lot of things that never were intended. Remember Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified, taking paths which he's prepared, living the good life. If you don't take those paths, forget that good life thing. You can count on torment and heartache and things being in your life God never intended to be there. People being in your life God never intended to be there. Wrong marriages, wrong kids, wrong relationships. You can just depend on a whole lot of stuff. It's well worth it to take paths that he's prepared ahead of time. So I was taking my own path, and it was opening the door to the devil. And you know, somebody said, well, you were young. Did God hold you accountable? There were some things I knew that I wasn't walking in. We're always accountable for what we know. You know, young people, they don't know as much, but they're what they know. Do your children at 5 years old know anything? There's some things they don't want to act like they know, but they know. They're responsible for what they know. So I wasn't doing what I knew. And I knew that these friends weren't right. And what they were leading me into wasn't right. And but I had my own plan. I wanted my plan. So I'm going the wrong direction. Well, it opened the door to a lot of things. And but something happened when I 1983, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They mentioned it to me, and they said that, you know, we're going to pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do you want to be baptized? We want to pray for you. And I said, what's that? And they told me, showed it to me in the Word. I'd never heard it. First time in my life I had ever heard of it. Never heard of tongues, you know, never heard of any of it. So I said, is that in the Bible? And they showed me in the Bible, and I said, I want that. I don't know what's inspired me to say. It wasn't my flesh that inspired me to say that.
Right.
The later the Lord said to me, you weren't really rebelling against me, you're rebelling against religion. I didn't like it. Just didn't like it. So, but see, whenever it came time for something in God, I want God. So when they said the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like, I want that. And so they said, all right, lunchtime, we're going to, because that was between classes, lunchtime, we're going to meet us in this classroom and we're going to pray for you. And that's whenever I got filled with the Spirit. So, well, then I spoke with tongues, of course, and I was filled with the Spirit. And then I started speaking more in tongues. I didn't speak a lot, but I spoke more in tongues. Except there was this lady that found out about me getting filled with the Holy Ghost, that I was a friend with her son. And she thought, most people thought, that her son and my son, I mean, her son and me kind of got in the wrong crowd. But the secret was we was the leader of the crowd. And people of the Holy Ghost knew it. And Miss Emily Mahaffey picked it up. That was her son. And Miss Emily Mahaffey picked it up in the spirit and said, I'm making him a target for my prayer life. And that's all she wrote. You may as well. If Emily Mahaffey gets to praying for you, you may as well give up now. Just say, Uncle, surrender, put your hands up, wave the right flag, done. I'm serving God all the days of my life. Because she kept praying, and I could not enjoy my fun anymore because I was trying to straddle the fence. Pray and get in fellowship with God and then do my own thing, and I'm still back and forth. And I didn't have my mind renewed, you know. So I was, and so she was praying, and I was getting more miserable when I'd get on my plan.
Yes, sir.
And I couldn't enjoy it anymore. I couldn't have any fun anymore, what I thought was fun.
Yeah, right.
You know. And so I said, I'd go to parties, and my curfew's whatever, 10 or 10:30, and I had to be home. And I couldn't enjoy the party anymore, so I left the party. Drove my car back into the woods back because I had to be home by a certain time. But I said, I'm early. I don't want to go home early. No fun sitting with mom and dad in the living room at 9 o'clock at night, Friday night. So I'm still going to stay out here by myself, but I'm miserable. You understand me? I'm miserable. So I drove my car back into the woods, just sit back there and really try to figure it out. Why can't I enjoy this anymore? And I remember just starting to, my heart was just bothering me. And I'd say, God, what do you want with me? And I'd pray. I'd pray in tongues and pray. And I was praying things out. And he had a plan for me. And I started realizing I can't fulfill this plan with these people in my life. I got wrong people around me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I got to get away from these wrong people.
Yeah. Yes.
I got to get away from this denominationalism.
Yeah.
Christianity.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to be mean.
Yeah. No.
I'm just talking about what I had to do.
Yes.
And I kept knowing, what do you want with me? What do you want me to do? I mean, I kept having my own plan. I wanted to go to DeVry University in Columbus, Ohio. I wanted to become a computer programmer, but that was after I wanted to be a landscaper and after I wanted to be a men's clothing designer. And I had all sorts of...
All right. Well,
I knew I could do a better job designing men's clothes, you know? Too baggy here, not enough here, you know, just kind of... But I had all the, and I'm because I'm graduating from high school, and I'm in turmoil. What am I going to do after this? You know, people had plans for me. You know what I'm talking about. And they were talking about their plans for me. And of course, then I had my plans, and then there was God's plan. And I'm going through this. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And I don't want to do that. What do you want with me, God? I mean, if I do what you want, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm just in my head. But I'd get beyond my intellect and start praying out of my spirit. And things would start happening inside of me. And I was excited about something was stirring. And then through praying, I believe it was through Miss Mahaffey's praying and my praying. One day at lunchtime, a young girl... Kristen Davies, her name was. She's married, got another last name now. She was a year ahead of me in school. And she was part of the group that was praying for people to get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I think she was, in fact, she was there when all those girls laid hands on me. And so I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And she, somebody that I looked up to because she knew something in God I didn't know, you know. And so, but she, I said to her one day at lunch, I said, I just prompted to. I didn't really talk to her much. It wasn't like she was in the group of my friends, you know, because she was too spiritual, kind of, you know. And thank God. She didn't have to deal with all the stuff I had to deal with because, you know, that spiritual helped her. But you know, it wasn't somebody I talked to a lot. I appreciated her and respected her in God. She knew some things, but I was just a little intimidated by her because of what she knew in God. And she might point her finger at me and tell me what I'm doing in the flesh, you know. And, but yet I respected her. So, yeah, you were with me because you've been there. So but one day I just had a prompting to go talk to her at lunchtime. So she was sitting with some of her friends, and I walked over there, and I just started a conversation with her, and I said, so, you know, because she was a senior now. I'm a junior by this time. I'm a junior. I wasn't when I got filled, but by this time, I'm a junior. She's a senior. And I said, and just talking to her about, I don't know what I was talking about, but I said, so what are you, when you're getting ready to graduate, what are you going to do after you graduate? She said, I'm going to Rhema Bible Training Center. I had never heard of Rhema Bible Training Center, never heard of Kenneth Hagin Ministries, never. I mean, as far as I knew, that was the man that landed on the moon last week. I mean, I didn't know. Never heard of him. I'm going to Rhema Bible Training Center at Kenneth Hagin Ministries. As soon as she said that, something on the inside of my spirit went and clicked into gear. That's the best. I've described it that way from the day it happened to the day. I still describe it that way because that's the best way how to describe what happened. Something went. It's like a cog engaged a gear, and now, this is the plan of God. As soon as she said it, I didn't know where Rhema was. I didn't know who Kenneth Hagin Ministries was. I didn't know. I had heard of, because the teachers who were feeding this underground revival, they gave books. I had books on Lester Sumrall. I had Smith Wigglesworth books. There's some others I can't think of right now, but no, they hadn't given us any Kenneth Hagin books yet. So I didn't know. But as soon as she said Rhema Bible Training Center, I knew in my spirit, that's where I'm going. I'm going to the Rhema Bible Training Center. I just knew it. A couple of days later, Walker Schurz asked me, what do you think you're going to do when you graduate? I said, well, I'm going to Bible school, because I wasn't bold enough to tell him what it was. I said, and he said, well, I know of a couple of good Bible schools. And he mentioned another one, Elam. I don't remember the full name of it, Bible school. And I just knew in my spirit. I didn't know I was a spirit. I didn't know how to be led by the spirit. I just knew inside, no, that's not the one. And then he said, and then there's Rhema Bible Training Center. And I said, yep, that's where I'm going. I'm going to Rhema Bible Training Center. And he's the only person I told. Besides, I think that's the only person I told until the day I'm graduating and we're on the platform. Each student, I think there's 30 some of us, small Christian high school, saying, you know, what our favorite verse was, we're graduating. We had our caps and gowns on. And we go across the platform. We said, each one of us said what our favorite verse was and what we're going to do after we graduate.
Yes, yeah.
And so that's all they said. We have time. We don't have time to do anymore. And I'm down in the basement of the church that we're in. And I went into the bathroom because I got to tell my favorite verse. And I got to tell them what I'm doing after graduation. And I haven't told anybody yet. I haven't even told my parents I'm going to Bible school yet. Nobody knows except Walker Schurz. And so I said, I went into the bathroom. I said, I got to decide what I'm going to say up there. I don't want to say that for the first time. Nobody knows it. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to say, and I'm struggling between my heart and my head again. And finally, I just said, well, whatever comes to me, I'll just say it. That's pretty good for Mennonite. So I just didn't think much about it. I got up there and I gave my favorite verse. And then I said, and then after I graduate, I'm going to Rainbow Bible Training Center. Put down the mic real quick and walked off because I knew everybody's going to be looking. I know all my aunts and uncles didn't know it. My grandpa and grandma didn't know it. My mom and dad didn't know it. My brothers and sisters didn't know it. All my cousins didn't know it. Nobody knew what I was going to do. As far as they knew, I was going to be a partner in the farm. And so I just walked off real quick. And whenever they came through the receiving line, I'm standing there. They're all us graduates, and everybody's going through the receiving line. And here's some of my folks. I'm like, oh, man. And I was trying to do this. Good to see you. Glad. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming, you know. Nobody said anything, except when we got home. My mom said, well, I didn't know you were going to Bible school. I said, well, there's worse things I could do. She said, what kind of school is it? Boy, then that's when the persecution started. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, but I got into the plan of God, not because God had a plan, but because I prayed. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you understand? Unless we pray, we don't know what the plan of God is. And that's one of the ways you lay hold of the plan of God is you pray it out.
That's right.
You got to pray it out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just telling you, we're at another place. Pastor Debbie and I are at another place in God where there's something good here.
Yes.
Somebody said, what is it, Pastor? Let me speak in tongues and tell you. Because my mind hasn't caught up with it yet, but there's something going on. And it's as big as it's going to change things in the spirit as much as going from Mennonite to Bible school.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because he said, when you hit your 50s, you're just going to be up and running and hitting your stride and what the plan is really that I have for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a few days over 29. You know what I'm talking about. No, I'm in my 50s. And things, you know, things have to be prayed out or else they're just not going to progress right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Anybody got ears to hear? Okay, go to Romans 8. My goodness. Y'all listen way too well. That's a compliment. Romans chapter 8. Notice it says, now I'm going to read the Amplified. Romans 8, verse number 26. One of the mysteries in 1 Corinthians 14:2. One of the mysteries in 1 Corinthians 14:2 is the plan of God. And where to be wise about it. Where to draw it out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, verse 26, Romans 8, 26. So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. Well, King James says infirmities. What is he talking about? He's talking about prayer. If you read on, we know not what to pray for as we ought. So he's talking about a weakness in prayer.
Yes.
What is one of our weaknesses? He mentions the one he's referring to. There's others. He said infirmities, plural. But here's one, that we don't know everything.
Yeah.
The intellect doesn't know everything. What is a mystery? It's something that you don't know. So when you're praying mysteries, you're praying out what you don't know with your mind. Aren't you glad you can still access it, though? There's a verse. I don't think I wrote it down here tonight. It says, What is it? I think it is Jeremiah 33:3. Just write down Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you realize that the word mighty in the Hebrew actually means hidden? Hidden things. And some translations say inaccessible things. Inaccessible. In other words, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show unto thee inaccessible things. In other words, there are things that are inaccessible to the mind.
Yeah.
The mind cannot grasp it.
Right.
Thank God, Romans 8:26 says, let's keep on reading here, the Spirit helps our infirmities or weaknesses, the Amplified says, For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. I didn't know how to pray about that stirring in my heart. I knew that God had something he wanted me to do. He had a plan for my life, and I knew I wasn't in it. I mean, I knew in my spirit that he had spoken to me about Rhema, but I mean, later he spoke to me about Rhema, but before that, I didn't know. How am I supposed to get? There's things that it seems impossible to your mind to how to ever fulfill this. I'm in a place in my life right now, some of the things he's spoken to me, it still seems impossible. It's inaccessible. How? In the flesh, there is no way. So many things that God's plan for our lives. There's no way. There's no way. We have no way of bringing it to pass. We don't, but he does. We don't even know what it is, but he does. And that's why he's given us the Holy Ghost to speak in other tongues. Because he said, these inaccessible things, we don't know. Let's go back to the Amplified. We don't know. We know not what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself, thank God, goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Now listen to the first part of it in the Amplified. He comes, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. The Amplified says, the King James says, he helps our infirmities. So he's not doing this for us apart from us. He's helping us do it. These utterances and these expressions, these yearnings and these groanings must escape our lips. He's not over here doing it on his own. He doesn't do our praying for us. We do our praying. And he helps us because we sometimes come to the place we don't know how to express this. But down in here there's a yearning. Just express that yearning. And sometimes it's tongues, sometimes it's not. It's a wail. It's a cry. It's a groan. But which is what people get all stirred up about. They don't know what that all that is. But I'll tell you what it is. It's this verse right here. So yearnings and groanings, notice, too deep. This is the Amplified in verse 26. Too deep for utterance. You could write right beside that, inaccessible. It's too deep. Now, the Greek says too deep for utterance in articulate speech. Too deep for utterance. In other words, he's saying that the Spirit is giving us the expressions to talk to God about. But our intellect doesn't know how to express it. It's deeper than you know how intellectually to express to God. Now, there's things in God, there's things, and I've been, it comes on me just talking about it, but there's things in the move of the Spirit that I so long for. We were driving to Kansas City, and we turned on the meeting, Dad Hagen. It was at Dr. Dufresne's in 1987, September of 1987. Dedicating Dr. Dufresne's building. And Brother Hagin got up and never spoke a word out of his head from the moment he got in the pulpit. Instantly started prophesying. Instantly started praying in English, in the spirit of prophecy. And praying and prophesying. Never spoke a word out of his intellect until after he was turned it over to Dr. Dufresne. Dr. Dufresne said some things, then he got back up. But he moved in the Spirit, moved in the prophet's office, moved in revelation, moved in praying some things out, moved in orchestrating and administrating some things. And then turned it over to Dr. Dufresne. Dr. Dufresne got up and said some things. He said, the Lord revealed to me that Dad Hagin has been praying and he wants to go home. He's 70 years old. Wants to go home to heaven. Now, he didn't say it on the audio, but Brother Dr. Dufresne told me personally that in the back room, Brother Hagin said, Dr. Dufresne, you're right on. And he said one of the reasons was I was praying to go home. He said, I've done this for a long time. But he said, and I have not been able to get back into the flow of the prophet's office like I flowed in years past. Yeah. And so I was just saying, Lord, let me come on home. Please let me come on. I've done this for, let some of these other people take over. And said the Lord wouldn't let him. But Dr. Dufresne said publicly in that meeting after Brother Hagin turned us over, after he operated in the prophet's office, yeah. Dr. Dufresne said, the Lord showed me that we need to pray for Brother Hagin more because the Lord showed me he's praying and wants to go home. Yeah. You know, we have a responsibility to pray for our spiritual leaders so that kind of discouragement doesn't get on them.
Yes.
And they don't have to do all the battling in the spirit on their own to keep into the flow of God. What others don't even have any interest in, yet God's saying, do this. And you feel like you're pulling the weight of the whole body of Christ. Because not everybody's interested. I know what that feels like. So, Brother Hagin, Dr. Dufresne said, I say this in fear and trembling. But the Lord showed me, and I've been praying for Brother Hagin. And I want you to pray for Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin got back up, took the mic away from Dr. Dufresne. He said, you're exactly right. He said, I've been wanting to go on home. I hadn't been able to get back into some things. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Why am I saying all that? I don't know why I'm saying that particularly. But I know that in these last few days, last few weeks, been praying a lot extra. There's a move of the Spirit that we've got to have in the body of Christ. And it's not going to come to pass with just little God bless the pastors praying.
Thank you.
It's going to be these yearnings and groanings.
Yes, sir.
Deeper.
That's right.
Deeper than just head prayers. I can't express it to you without travailing myself any better than that. I need the help of the Spirit to do it better than that. Are you still there? Or are you going home? Now, look at verse 27. I'm quickly running out of time. This is the Amplified again. Romans 8:27. He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God. Yeah, how many of you know this is still coming out of our lips, but it's the Holy Ghost speaking through us, pleading before God, and it's in a language that we don't understand. Now, actually, there's other things in this verse beyond just a language we don't understand. There's in this verse, there's more, actually verse 26, there's more than just tongues. There's also yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. That's not tongues, that's an expression that comes into you by the Spirit and you express to God, but it's not even in tongues, it's just a groan. Now, you don't make that up in the flesh. Make that up in the flesh, I'll be the first one to come over and smack you around a little bit. That's weird. But there are places in the Spirit where it comes up out of your spirit, and it's the real deal. It's not. But see, I've seen it happen here a couple of times in our services, and there's a segment of the congregation that will stay hooked up with it. But there's another segment that kind of goes, and that grieves. And I wouldn't say it grieves the Holy Ghost. It quenches the Spirit. Because he's endeavoring to get some things done. He's endeavoring to get this congregation into a deeper flow.
Yes.
Because we got to pray some things out.
Yes.
And these expressions come up and we can't shut them down. We've got to let them come on out. That's why we live stream the teaching part of this, but we're not going to live stream the prayer part of it. Because we've been in prayer right here before that wasn't even live streamed. And the Spirit of God began to move in this way in some deeper things. And I thought, here we go, finally.
Yeah.
And we started getting into it, and the anointing left like a bird flying off my shoulder. I was so grieved in my spirit. I said, God, we're just finally getting there. And he said, there's too much unbelief in the room. That's why we turn it off. People don't understand. And some things aren't appropriate in the room of the unlearned when people don't understand. Remember, Paul talked about that. But let's create a room. What do you say?
Yes.
That's why we're doing some teaching too. We're endeavoring to create a room where we're not full of unlearned.
Yeah.
Where we're not unlearned.
Yes.
And we don't shut these things down.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Higgins said, if you want to move a God, you got to be willing to have a little wildfire too. You probably will have a little bit of wildfire. Maybe some things will get over in the flesh, but it will just swallow it up.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. Come back and teach again. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Amen. All right, we've got to finish this 27th verse. And he who searches the hearts, amplified, of men knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints. Now, here's what I want to get to. According to and in harmony with God's will. According to and in harmony with God's will. Say it out loud. According to and in harmony with God's will. What does that mean? In other words, the Holy Spirit will not help you pray something that is not God's will.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You cannot yield to the Holy Ghost and pray out something that's not His will, not God's will. You can do that out of your understanding. Words are containers. Words contain, like if you're speaking words out of your mind, they contain a portion of what you know in your mind or what you're thinking. They contain things. They can contain whatever thoughts you have, you know, good or bad. But then, see, whenever we speak words inspired by the Holy Spirit, they're also containers. What does this verse say they contain? The will of God. The plan of God. We're praying the plan of God. Which is so much more glorious than our plan. Someone said, I don't know if I want to pray too much. Believe me, it's the best for you.
That's right. Amen.
It's so glorious. How many of you remember that verse we were quoting? When were we? Where was it? Somewhere recently. So much is running together. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number, what is that? Verse number 8, where it talks about God's, where it talks about, you know, we speak these things in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The hidden wisdom. And we said that hidden wisdom is the plan of redemption. Amen. Well, that plan of redemption is the general plan, but there's the specifics of that of the plan of God for us, and that too will lift us into the glory. When we pray in tongues, it lifts us into the highest plan for our lives, which is glorious. Much more glorious, way beyond the glory of your plans. The glory of your plans are ugly compared to the glory of His plan. His plan will make you a blessing that far exceeds anything you could become a blessing out of your plan. It far exceeds. I mean, the plan of God will take a man who is a, take a man's life and take a life that is like a throwaway life. It's a life that is not productive. It doesn't bless anybody. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of a useless life. They kind of lived down here sucking air, and that's about all they did. They didn't, and they paid their bills, and they had a job, but it was just sort of a throwaway life. The plan of God, man praying in the Holy Ghost, will take a man like that out of his plan, put him in God's plan, and make him a blessing to change the lives of many, many, many people. Yeah, and then heaven, when you get to heaven, the receiving line will make you go, glory, 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 glory. Because person after person will go, thank you for obeying God. Thank you for obeying God. Thank you for obeying God. And you'll be like, oh, I'm so glad I obeyed God. Because for eternity. Eternity. It'll just be rolls of glory. But listen, you don't have to wait for that glory up there. It'll start being, your life will become glorious down here. Because you're walking in the plan. I said you're walking in the plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, how am I going to find the plan? This verse says right here. Those words that you speak by the Spirit, in tongues, those contain that plan. And sometimes, here's what will happen. You'll begin, notice, Let's look at verse number 28. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, right? Look at verse number 28. Now notice, this is right after those two verses on prayer, right? King James says, and. What does and mean? You can't just take this verse alone out of the context of the previous two verses. Let me shuck the corn here a little bit. Let me barbecue a sacred cow in the body of Christ.
Come on. That's right. Come on.
People say, well, all the, you know, some bad tragedy happens, some tornado or something happens. You know, all, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. I want to take a sock and stick it in their mouth and say, shut up.
Yeah. Come on.
You don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
This was not God working his plan.
That's right. Come on. Yes, sir.
We know the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
Jesus said, I'm come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. Tornadoes aren't abundant life. They're part of the fallen curse on the earth. The fallen condition of the earth because of the curse. And we know, King James, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I know a lot of people love God, and that verse ain't working for them. Listen to the Amplified. We are assured. This is in the context of the previous verses. We are assured and know that, here's the key, God being a partner in their labor. All things work together and are fitted into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. All right. So notice that statement, God being a partner in their labor. That's the key of the whole thing. Somebody said, what labor? Just back up to the previous two verses.
Yes.
The labor of prayer.
Yes. Come on.
The labor of prayer.
That's right. That's good.
God, you yielding your tongue to pray out the plan of God will bring the will of God into your life and move the will of the enemy out of your life.
That's right.
It'll take you out of your plans, put you in God's plans, which is where the good life is. Ephesians 2:10, the Amplified. It's where the good life is and where the doors are closed to the enemy. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need to exercise authority over the enemy because he'll try to oppose you in God's plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can be way ahead of him and pray things out and stop it even before Satan even gets it started.
Yes, sir.
Like I remember here, there was a season a number of years ago where I kept sensing there's something going to try to rise up in the congregation. I kept saying, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. I didn't know what it was. But I just knew something. And I'd pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And then one Sunday, it showed up. I knew what it was. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't, Mr. Devil. No, you don't. No, you don't. And within 3 weeks, it was gone.
Hallelujah.
So I'm glad I came tonight. Are you glad you came tonight? So God being a partner in their labors. What labor? The labor of prayer. So somebody said, well, it's all going to work out. Not if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you praying in the Holy Ghost is God's invitation to get involved in that situation. He, with God, without an invitation, he won't intervene. Why? Because heaven gets its way automatically, but earth doesn't. The will of God is automatically done in heaven, but it's not automatically done on earth. Someone said, God's sovereign. He's running everything. Well, he sure got it in a mess.
Come on.
Got it in a mess. He's not running everything. The devil's the god of this world. And unless the church prays, there's going to be a lot of things the devil's going to do and not God. Jesus said, pray this way, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's automatic on the earth, why do we have to pray that it be done on the earth? Because it's not automatic. Psalm 115 says, I don't have the verse in front of me, but you can look it up. It says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. You and I are in charge down here.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
You and I are in charge. There's authority. God gave authority to man down here on the earth. And unless somebody down here asks him, he can't intervene down here. I mean, that's just the authority of the believer. You have to understand the authority of the believer and the authority of the church. Somebody finding that verse, Psalm 115, verse number 16. Hallelujah. So let's ask for the will of God. What do you say? There's something about God that he just won't reveal his plan unless somebody asks him. You have to be interested. If you're not interested, God won't intervene. Sometimes there'll be stirrings in your spirit. Like I got a stirring in my spirit in the last few weeks. We got to be praying more. This whole thing about prayer is just huge inside of me. And sometimes there's a stirring in your spirit by the Holy Spirit, but that's as far as he'll go. What do you mean that's as far as he'll go? In other words, that stirring is there because there's something God is endeavoring to do. And he's endeavoring to get us to yield to prayer so he can do it. You understand? A lot of times, and yes, unless we yield to that, that's as far as we go. That's as far as God goes. That's as far as the plan goes. That's as far as the revelation of the plan goes. We sometimes are just, we have these things in our spirit, but we're not doing anything with them.
Yes, sir, that's right. That's good.
Amen. Amen. And I'm just asking you and inviting you as a congregation to come on in and do some of this with me. I don't want to do all the praying this time. I love praying. Don't misunderstand me. But I want some help. When the Lord sent us here, he said to me, one of the assignments, in fact, the first thing he said to me, he says, I could back up and give you a lot more explanation of this. But we started moving in the spirit and some things on the road that caused all hell to break loose. The devil hated it. There was two reasons all hell broke loose. Number one, the devil hated it. Number two, we weren't quite ready for it. Pastor Debbie and I, where we were spiritually at the time, we weren't quite ready for it. And I started praying about it, and I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, back out of it. Oh, that was tough. But he said, and then whenever he finally got through to me that we were supposed to pastor, he said, but I want you to raise up a prayer group to cover you. So that when you go back out into that, you have some help and protection.
Yes. Amen.
So you can move in it without having to stand guard and move in it all at the same time. I mean, when there's a measure, we got to stand guard. But how about the congregation help us stand guard?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Because there's some things that draw some fire from the enemy that he hates. One thing is pulling the wraps off of his plans and revealing the plans of God. Satan hates that. He fights revelation getting into the earth. He fights revelation of God's plan. He fights to keep his plan. He fights to keep people in the dark about God's plan. But, you know, let's just not give him any place. What do you say? So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, there's a stirring in me because God wants to do some things. And whenever this stirring comes, there's oftentimes something in our future that God wants to do that won't happen unless we pray. And there's blessings that are waiting for us in his plan, and he's wanting to reveal how to get into them. He is a good God. You get that stirring inside. It's like, Lord, what is that? He said, I got something for you. I got something for you. I remember we were believing God to pay off this building. I got an unction to pray in the Holy Ghost. We just claimed what we needed, bound the devil and so forth. But see, you always got to follow the Holy Ghost too. We do the word, walk in the light that we have out of our understanding of the word. But then if you get unction to pray, you got to do that too. That's why we miss it sometimes. That's why things don't come to pass fully, because the Holy Ghost was trying to do something. And he was having us pray, but we weren't yielding to it. Or he was leading us to, and we weren't yielding. So, but anyway, we're praying, believing God to pay off this building, and I got that stirring. I just knew something God wants to do. And I prayed in tongues for a long time, and while I'm praying in tongues, something started bubbling down in here. I started getting thrilled. I started laughing. I'd pray in tongues, and I'd laugh for a while. And then I'd pray in tongues, and I'd, ha, 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 ha. See, that's an expression of the Spirit. And I just yielded to that. I kept yielding to that. And finally, I prayed the thing through. And I knew instantly. I knew what God was doing. And within a couple of weeks, bam, it hit. Somebody gave $65,000 or whatever it was. And we almost, but that was almost all we needed to pay the building off. And in just a short time, it was all paid off. And I said publicly one time in another setting what I was praying about and how I was praying for this person. And I knew what God was doing. I didn't say it here because I didn't want them to think anything about it. But they heard me. And they contacted us, said, thank you for praying, because I just needed the push to get over the edge to obey God.
Yeah.
Because I knew I didn't want to, but I knew God kept dealing with me. So, see, that praying was God working with them to get it to come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One more thing before we pray. Let's look here, verse 27. I don't know about you. I'm enjoying this. This gets me. See, we've got to hear these things because many Christians don't have faith to pray in the Holy Ghost. To them, it's just useless. What good is that? Y'all still with me tonight? Here's what good it is. It's accessing God's plan. Hallelujah. Now, do you see here the Amplified says in verse 27, it says that these things fit into the Holy Spirit. He knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Well, I'm looking for it here somewhere. The Amplified. There's a translation that says, let me see if I can find it here. It says something about being fitted into the plan. I thought, verse 28. Thank you. We are assured know that God being a partner in their labors, all things work together and are fitted into a plan for good. Look at that. Fitted into a plan for good. Do you know that you're not fitted into the plan for good unless you pray? Your praying is enabling God to work out that plan and fit it in like it's supposed to fit in. I don't know why I just don't fit. It just seems like I don't fit. Where do I fit? Well, if you pray in tongues, you'd find where you fit. You'd get into the plan. And then you just lay it in bed at night and twitch your toes because you're so thrilled. I found where I fit.
Yeah.
But what I've learned over the years and the way this has worked for me is as I've prayed in tongues, something starts forming down on the inside. I still can't explain it. I don't know if you've been there, but it's deeper than your intellect. It's deeper than your reasoning. And you stop praying in tongues and it kind of goes away because you kind of unhook from here and you get back in your mind. But you keep praying. And while you're praying, something's being formed down in here. And you look down in there and you still can't explain it. But you can tell something's being fit. Something's being formed. Something's forming on the inside of you. And you keep on praying and it keeps on forming. And then all of a sudden it comes up and the revelation of it comes up. And you laugh and laugh and laugh because all of a sudden you got the revelation of the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then all you do is walk it out.
Amen.
You don't have to work it out. If you prayed it out, you don't have to work it out. Just walk it out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am just twitching in my toes tonight. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Does this build your faith to pray in tongues? Does it build your faith to pray in tongues? Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's things on our path that need to be prayed out. Sometimes there's things that need to be moved out. People that need to be moved out. Stuff that needs to be moved out and other things that need to be hauled on in. And then all this is being worked out as we pray in the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen.